Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 23. The demigods regain the heavenly planets, text number 17, without any purport. And for practically the rest of the chapter, there's no purports, but we'll keep on reading till we find one. Lord Vishnu, I must nevertheless act in obedience to your order, because obeying your order is most auspicious as the first duty of everyone. So this is who speaking to who? Sukracharya speaking to who? Which one? Yes, they're all the same. Translation, text 18. Sukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, the most powerful Sukracharya accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect. Along with the best Brahmins, or brahmanas, he began to compensate for the discrepancies in the sacrifice performed by Bali Maharaj. Well, actually, there were no discrepancies, but in his imagination, there were some discrepancies, so he began to compensate what he thought was a discrepancy. O King Parikshit, thus having taken all the land of Bali Maharaj by begging, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamanadeva, delivered to his brother Indra all the land taken away by Indra's enemy. Lord Brahma, the master of King Daksha, and all the other Prajapatis, accompanied by all the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitriloka, the Manus, the Munis, and such leaders as Daksha, Bhrigu, and Angira, as well as Kartikeya and Lord Shiva, accepted Lord Vamanadeva as the protector of everyone. He did this for the pleasure of Kashyapa Muni and his wife Aditi, and for the welfare of all the inhabitants of the universe, including their various leaders. O King Parikshit, Indra was considered the king of all the universe. But the demigods headed by Lord Brahma wanted Upendra, Lord Vamanadeva, as the protector of the Vedas, the principles of religion, fame, opulence, auspiciousness, vows, elevation to the higher planetary system, and liberation. Thus they accepted Upendra, Lord Vamanadeva, as the supreme master of everything. This decision made all living entities extremely happy. Thereafter, along with all the leaders of the heavenly planets, Indra, the king of heaven, placed Lord Vamanadeva before him, and with the approval of Lord Brahma, brought him to the heavenly planets in his celestial airplane. Indra, the king of heaven, being protected by the arms of Vamanadeva, the supreme personality of Godhead, thus regained his rule of the three worlds, and was thus reinstated in his own position, supremely opulent, fearless, and fully satisfied. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Kartikeya, the great sage Bhrigu, other saintly persons like the inhabitants of Pitriloka, and all other living entities present, including the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, the living entities travel in outer space by airplane, all glorify the uncommon activities of Lord Vamanadeva. O King, while chanting about the glory and glorifying the Lord, they return to their respective heavenly planets. Thus they also praise the position of Aditi. King Parikshit, O King, O Maharaj Parikshit, pleasure of your dynasty, I have described to you everything about the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva. Those who hear about this are certainly freed from the results of sinful activities. Text 29. It looks almost like Brahma Samhita, but it doesn't look quite. Anyway, we can try. Param himna uru vikramato grinano. Yak partivani vimame savrajam ramsi martyaha. Kim jayamana uta jata upaiti martya. Kim jayamana uta jata upaiti martya. Ityaha mantra drig rishi purashasya yasya. Param, the measurement, mahimna, of the glories, uruvikramataha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who acts wonderfully, Guranana, can count, yaha, a person who, Partivani of the whole planet Earth. Vimame can count. Saha, he. Rajamsi, the atoms. Martyaha, a human being who is subject to death. Kim, what? Jayamanaha, one who will take birth in the future. Uta, either. Jata, one who is already born. Upaiti, can do. Martyaha, person subject to death. Iti, thus. Aha, said, Mantra Drik, who could foresee the Vedic mantras. Rishi, the great saintly Vishistha Muni. Purushasya, of the Supreme Person. Yasya, of whom? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One who is subject to death, cannot measure the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shivikrama, Lord Vishnu, any more than he can count the number of atoms on the entire planet Earth. No one, whether born already or destined to take birth, is able to do this. This has been sung by the great sage Vashistha. Purport. Vashistha Muni has given a mantra about Lord Vishnu. Ma na te Vishnur jayamano najato mahimna param anantam apa. No one can count the extent of the uncommonly glorious activities of Lord Vishnu. Unfortunately, there are so-called scientists who are subject to death at every moment, but are trying to understand by speculation the wonderful creation of the cosmos. This is a foolish attempt. Long, long ago, Vashistha Muni said that no one in the past could measure the glories of the Lord and that no one can do so in the future. One must simply be satisfied with seeing the glorious activities of the Lord's creation. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 10:42, Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam shena stito jagat. With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The material world consists of innumerable universes, each one full of innumerable planets, which are all considered to be the products of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, material energy. Yet this is only 1/4 of God's creation. The other 3/4 of the creation constitute the spiritual world. Among the innumerable planets in only one universe, the so-called scientists cannot understand even the moon and Mars, but they try to defy the creation of the Supreme Lord and His uncommon energy. Such men have been described as crazy. Nunam pramatta krute vikarma. Such crazy men waste time and energy and money by attempting to defy the glorious activities of Arukrama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I shall read the rest of it because there's only 2 more verses in the chapter. If one hears about the uncommon activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His various incarnations, he is certainly elevated to the higher planetary system or even brought back home, back to Godhead. whatever activities of Amitadeva are described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony be performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pitri Loka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. Purport, there are three kinds of ceremonies, especially ceremonies to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the demigods. Those performed for social celebrations like marriages and birthdays, and those meant to please the forefathers like the Shraddha ceremony. In all these ceremonies, large amounts of money are spent for various activities. But here it is suggested that if along with this there is recitation of the wonderful activities of Amitadeva, certainly the ceremony will be carried out successfully and will be freed of all discrepancies. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th chapter, 8th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets. As I mentioned before, one day Srila Prabhupada was talking with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. This is 1968. Could have been 70. Probably 68. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj at that time was the temple commander of the Los Angeles Temple. And being a temple commander was a prestigious position back then. If the temple commander said jump, the only thing you asked was how high. Nowadays, no one wants to be the temple commander. Because if you ask someone to jump, they'll say you jump first. In any case, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was noted for telling people to jump very high. And undoubtedly there were some complaints about that. So Prabhupada was talking to him one day, and he said that in the spiritual world there's a planet called Goloka Vrindavan, and it's so big that all the spiritual planets, of which there are unlimited numbers, can all fit into Goloka Vrindavan. Think about that for a few years. And each Vaikuntha planet itself is so big that all the material universes could fit into that spiritual planet. And sometimes when we're talking about material planets or universes, then sometimes in the spiritual sky a little cloud forms. No one thinks it's going to rain, they see a little cloud. And in that cloud, Karanadakashai Vishnu lies down, and from his body, unlimited numbers of universe come out of the pores of his body, along with his breathing. And most of them float on the top of the Karanadakashai ocean, like foam. And in the smallest of all those universes, small but beautiful, Krishna expands himself, first of all, in all the universes as Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and in the smallest of all of them, Lord Garbhadakshai Vishnu lies down on Shesha Naga, and from his navel sprouts a lotus flower. And on top of that lotus flower, Lord Brahma is born, the smallest Brahma in all the universes, of the trillions and quadrillions of universes. Lord Brahma, we have the smallest one, but he's nice. Small but beautiful. And here he only has four heads. But four heads is enough, because if you have four heads, if you get a headache, it's very disturbing. You have four headaches. In any case, Lord Brahma, he creates inside the stem of the lotus flower all the planets that float like specks of dust in the air. And in one planet, whether we say there's something we call Earth, which is, generally speaking, according to the Vedas, we're on Jambudvip, there's a big, big island called Bhumandala. And in the very small part of that Bhumandala, because Bhumandala has like a circle around Mount Meru. And there are concentric circles of water and then Plakshadweep. Then there's ghee and there's salt water, there's fresh water. Then there's an ocean of milk. And it gets bigger and bigger. It goes out for billions of yojanas. But anyhow, we're comfortably situated on Jambudweep, or uncomfortably, depends how you're sitting. And in that one smart of this, one small part of Jambudweep, there's a little, Jambudweep is divided into nine varshas, and we're in one of the varshas called Bard Varsha. And we're in only a part of the Bard Varsha. And in Bard Varsha, there are apparently many continents, and one of them is called North America. And North America, there are several countries. One of them is called the United States. In the United States, there are 50 states. One of them is called California. And in California, there are many, many cities. And one of them is called Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, there are many, many boulevards and roads. One of them is called La Cienega Boulevard. And in La Cienega Boulevard, there are many, many houses. And one of them is called the Hare Krishna Temple. And the Hare Krishna Temple, there's one temple commander, and he thinks he's controlling everything. So he's thinking he's controlling everything. We're thinking we're controlling most of everything. We're not quite there, but we're trying. In any case, the Krishna is, someone's controlling everything. Otherwise, how are we getting remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness to jump to the super soul? Or we can go and look at the universe. The planets are all moving their orbits exactly in time. There must be a controller behind that. Our watches, if you have one, I gave up my watch, by the way. If you have a watch, do you have a watch? I never saw you had a watch. If you have a watch, the watch was made by a person. That's why it goes around. If you took a bunch of metal and threw it up in the air, I don't think it would just, you get a perfect watch. Even if you threw up Swiss metal and threw it up into the air in Switzerland, you still wouldn't get a Swiss watch. It takes intelligent people to make something which is intelligent, which is systematic and well organized. Therefore, if a watch is made by an intelligent person, how could the planets, which move exactly in an orbit, not be made by a supremely powerful and intelligent person? Now, if someone could understand that, that's the beginning of Krishna consciousness. And if one doesn't understand that, then one is a complete fool. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have in front of your name. Still, one is a complete fool. Even a child can understand that something works intelligently because there's an intelligent person behind it. Just like, generally speaking, you don't put a five-year-old behind the wheel and hope the car is going to drive nicely, because he doesn't have enough intelligence. You put someone with training and intelligence behind the wheel of a car to drive it. So if you see the universe is being driven nicely, there must be some intelligent people driving it. Otherwise, why aren't the planets, from our point of view, just crashing into each other? There's no driver to the planet just floating around there. So why don't we just watch it, all of them crash into each other? Oh, the sun's, it's gone off its orbit. Now it's crashing to Mars. Then it's Jupiter. Then it's Venus. Next to us. Head for the hills. The universe has gone crazy. Actually, the universe is not crazy. But as it says here, Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma, due to people's sinful activities, they become crazy. They've lost their intelligence. And the more they defy Krishna, the more, not just Krishna, the more they claim everything is accidental, then the more they lose their intelligence. Because why? Because why are they claiming everything is accidental? So they're free to serve their senses without any limitation or restriction. There's a purpose behind it. The people who want to sell things that are useless and detrimental, they have to claim that they're the only ones with intelligence. There's no supreme plan behind everything. There's no, God has made these bodies, and no one made these bodies. They're just an evolution from the monkeys. The monkeys have problems, and we also have problems because it's all just a hodgepodge. Who knows what's going on? Therefore, just like now, they have this natural immunity. People get sick, they found out, with anything, with whatever they call it. And after some time, from the fever, from the sweating, from so many different things, they become healthy. They rid themselves of the toxins. And therefore, when the next seasonal change comes along, then they don't have the toxins to interfere. And therefore they're relatively immune to what they call immunity. But modern scientists are so, modern medical doctors or whatever, they're so intelligent, they don't believe that there's such a thing as, that temperature and a certain degree is meant for freeing oneself from toxins, from undigested food especially. They don't have the conception that somehow or another there must be some methodology by which the cells in our body are getting fed nutrients. There must be some kind of channels. And that the cells have a way of taking those nutrients and utilizing them for energy and for activity and they must have some methodology of eliminating the parts of the nutrients that they can't use, or the digested food that the products. Like, they don't believe that it's all just hodgepodge. They don't know anything, actually. They don't know how it works. All they know is how to cut, burn, cut, burn, and poison. All in the name of health. Oh, you sneeze, I think it's time to cut, burn you and poison you. Not that the fever is actually purifying one, and one finds that after one has a fever, then when one recovers, then one is actually relatively much more healthy till one goes back to the same sinful activities as before and builds up one's accumulated toxins. But they don't believe that. They think if you sneeze, then you're in danger to everyone. They may sneeze also. But sneezing actually frees one from sweating, sneezing, crying. They free one from toxins so that one can digest better. The fire of digestion increases. One can eat better. One can sleep better. Everything becomes better. But they try to repress it and just go on with the same things that cause it. And the body's trying to rid itself of the toxins. You repress it so you can go on with the same activities which are causing your toxicity in the first place. And then you wonder why previously people used to get colds and now they get cancer. Because you're creating even more destructive diseases by your so-called knowledge. That God didn't make everything proper, and therefore we have to compensate with our chemical medicine. We got to poison you to make you healthy. Therefore it's called antibiotics. Against life. Biotics means life, and anti means against life. So they're proud of the fact that they found antibiotics, and they can kill everything. They can wipe everything out, including you. The point is that there is knowledge, for instance, of Ayurveda, which explains how the body works. It's not that there's no room for allopathic medicine. There's no room for traumatic medicine. There's no room for, but there has to be a place for it. It has to be done intelligently. it has to be seen in perspective of reality rather than in a perspective of what people create, thinking that there is no God. The main thing is that they think that God is so foolish, he made the creation with so many mistakes, and we have to correct them. They don't think that God has made everything perfectly, and because of their foolishness, they think that there's discrepancies. And whatever they're doing, as Prahlad Maharaj said, whatever they're doing to solve the problems are creating five more problems. As I mentioned before, in the beginning of the 1900s, there were many horses. Did anyone see a horse around Ljubljana? I guess, do the police ride horses here sometimes? Sometimes you meet. What's that? They have a riding school. You had to pay for horses. You got to make a living from the horse. So there are a few horses left. But they were thinking in the 1900s there were so many horses, and that was a major method of transportation. So they decided, because the horses, they pass stool, like every other living entity. But the stool was contaminating the roads because they didn't have, they didn't bother, you didn't clean up after your horse. So they decided the whole roads are getting contaminated with horse manure. So the Ford Motor Company came out with an advertisement at the very beginning of the 1900s, that buy our car and we'll solve the horse problem, manure problem. So everyone bought a car, and now we see in the roads there's no more horse manure problem. Because now you can't breathe the air in most places, cities, where there's a lot of cars, but that's another problem. People crash into each other. In America, 30 to 50,000 people die every year on the roads. You have to build these huge factories to manufacture these cars and all the different electronic parts. Like now they can't get the parts from Taiwan so easily or from China. And so they have to stop because the supply chain has been broken by purpose or by accident, by whatever. And therefore they can't get the parts to build a car. They can't get the, and therefore people need a car to go to work and to buy groceries. So they can't buy groceries, they can't go to work, they can't get a car that works. Anyhow, we've solved the horse problem. And everyone's proud. We have so many nice cars, and if you work hard, you can buy one of them. So you can get a car, so you can go to the store and buy your food, and you don't have to pick your vegetables from your garden fresh. You can get food from a grocery store, which has insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, and we now know that they also have peoplecides inside the can. But we've solved the horse problem, so we should be proud. So the point is that Krishna has made, like Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan has been around eternally. He hasn't decided to create grocery stores in Goloka Vrindavan. Isn't that amazing? That he's been around eternally and he still hasn't gotten it. He still hasn't progressed. He doesn't have an army in Goloka Vrindavan. He doesn't have grocery stores. There's no internet. Could you imagine that? There's no internet. And no one there is playing video games. What could they do? What do they do there? We've heard that the gopis are churning butter. My God, how primitive. How can they stand it? Why doesn't Krishna churn the butter? This is sexist. We've heard that they actually use bullock carts in Goloka Vrindavan. Just see how primitive they are. And Krishna likes flowers. What kind of person is that? What's his gender anyhow? He likes flowers. And people dance there. My God, were they? They're crazy. They're like the Hare Krishnas. Mindless. They don't know all the problems that are going on. They're dancing, they're chanting, they're singing. And they're happy. They must be mindless. How can you be happy? We should send some newspapers. They could find all the problems that are going on. So they can stop this dancing and singing happily. So we think we're progressing. But it's all being brainwashed. Our brains have been washed away. The real thing is that this progress is actually progress in the wrong direction. Real progress is to understand the perfection of Krishna's creation, not try to destroy it with our feeble intelligence. And then we'll be able to understand how little we are and how great Krishna is, and not try to understand every detail, going down to the microscopic detail. Like they've studied the cell. Darwin originally thought the cell was just some kind of protoplasm, and therefore it was just a chemical reaction. And then they discovered every cell of the trillions of cells in our body is more sophisticated than an entire city like New York City, with its transportation, its energy acquisition, its energy storage, its utilities, its disposal system. Each and every cell is more sophisticated than an entire city. So how do they explain that? Well, they don't. They try to ignore it. It doesn't fit into the idea that everything's randomly atoms just flying around, and there's no God, there's no control. It's all up to us to control the thing. So they just ignore it. They get deeper and deeper. They see God and they say, oh, it couldn't be God. He couldn't be there. It would spoil our lives. It would spoil our conception. And we couldn't spend our rest of creation, the rest of eternity, trying to become God, if there is already a God. So these are people called vimudas, fools. And anyone who follows them, who believes in them, they're also equally foolish. So the solution is not to try to understand every detail of Krishna's creation, but to understand enough to get out of it. Rather than try to compete with Krishna here, controlling it, we should try to cooperate with Krishna to let him do the driving. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Notice we never get a question from Goloka Vrindavan on the internet. It's just sure that they don't have an internet connection.
From Bhakti Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, is it possible to be self-realized without realization of Krishna? Just realize that we are spirit souls, but not the connection with Krishna.
Yeah, of course you can. It's called Brahman realization. To understand what we're not, it's called Brahman realization. But that doesn't mean we will understand who we actually are. To know that we're not this body doesn't mean we know who we are. Just like you wake up from a dream, you know you weren't the bird that was flying overhead in your dream. But that doesn't mean you actually, when you're waking up, you actually remember who you actually are before you become awake again. So Brahman realization is in between sleeping and waking up. Actually waking up.
And then we have Avaduta Rai Prabhu in Bhagavad Gita 2:39. We read, therefore Krishna will now describe to Arjuna the process of acting in Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. Here Buddhi Yoga is equated with Karma Yoga, but in Bhagavad Gita 10:10, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Buddhi Yoga is equated with pure devotional service. So the question, is the correct to conclude that there are different levels of Buddhi Yoga?
Well, Buddhi Yoga means acting with intelligence. So Karma Yoga, devotional service, is the same. But Karma Yoga may be contaminated by materialistic conceptions. Like it says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when one knows that the goal is Krishna, but one is addicted to the results of one's activities, one is said to be working in Karma Yoga. But one can also do karma yoga in Buddha yoga is also, karma yoga is included. So if we're doing karma yoga with full Buddha, that's called devotional service, pure devotional service. Or it could be mixed devotional service or pure, depending how we're acting.
Avaduta Rai has one more question. As per Bhagavatam, Paramanu is the smallest particle and six Paramanus together called Trasarenu are visible. But the six quarks of the modern science are not visible. It seems modern science discovered a smaller particle than Bhagavatam. What is going on?
Nothing much. The scientists are wasting our money. That's what's going on. They're cheating us. The example is given just like if you have a dog and you hit the dog and out comes barks. Woof, woof. Does that mean that the dog is made out of barks? So they take a cyclotron, they take something that they think is an atom and they hit it with something else and something comes out and they say that's what it's made out of. But it could just be a woof for all we know. They don't know what they're doing. They're just cheating people.
And Bhakti Yoga Tilburg has one more. How to see the environment problems that exists now? What should be done about it? Both doing nothing or focusing on it doesn't seem right.
Doing nothing?
Both doing nothing or focusing on it doesn't seem right.
Well, we should, according to Ish Upanishad, Ishavasya Idam Sarvam Jagat Kim Jagat, Tena Tiktena Bhunjitaha Magritaha Kashyasvidana. Whatever is in this creation is owned and controlled by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, we should accept those things necessary for his devotional service. And we should not become attached to things that are actually not, more or less. So we should utilize whatever we have in Krishna's service as much as possible. And that's what we can do. So the whole idea is what will actually be most pleasing to Krishna.
Thank you.
Kwala Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.